Blog Talk Radio.
Dear Lord, welcome to Blog Talk Radio and their infinite ways to really make your show go hot. This is Safe Talker and welcome to the episode for 9/11. Purpose of our show this evening is to cover the support for the resistance groups. You are that resistance. It's your neighborhood. It's your responsibility to set up your neighborhood protection teams. These are yours. This is the people that live around you that are going to do for you what needs to be done to help protect your family, their family, and the rest of the families that live in your area. These teams, as we have covered before, are based upon the concept of the sleeping giant. The hundreds and hundreds of thousands of veterans that have served, been trained, done their time, and got out or retired from military service, from being first responders for the various levels of government. By now, in setting up these teams, if you've followed our classes and shows each week, you will establish your area of operations. This is the boundaries of what you will call your community, your area, your neighborhood. To do this, it was our suggestion that you go online to Google Earth. Why Google Earth? Google Earth is a satellite shot. They take these at regular intervals. Some are a couple years old. Some may have a tree here or there different, but averaging, they are a picture from above of what your area looks like. From Google Earth, you create maps that you can work with. Now the initials, they show this thing from out in space all the way down to street level. What you want to do is get you a ruler, find your lot where your house is by putting in your address, and it'll come right straight to you. Lay your thing next to the side of that, and when it gets down to where the front of your lot, to the back of your lot, which is generally about 145 feet, is about an inch to an inch and an eighth. At that level, you hit the print button, and you print that picture. Now, where you'd start this is in the left corner of your area of your operation, and you move these across to the next one, all the way across the top, and down the side, down and all the way across the top until you get to the bottom of your area. When you've done this, you've printed up all the little squares to make maps. What you do with those is you start off with the first one up in the left corner, or in the bottom right. It makes no difference which end you start with. You trim the white paper away from the picture. You lay it down. You take the next one. You slide it behind the first map until all the terrain features up vertically line up. Put a small piece of tape at the top and the bottom. Do this all the way across. Come back. Repeat it. Start at the bottom. Slide it up from the bottom until it matches. And go across until you have the complete area on a very large map. Once you've done this, carefully turn it over, get the tape out, and seal all the areas so that it becomes one sheet of paper. With this, you now have something that you can write on, document, and put together. Fold it up nice and neatly, put it away. Then you will have gone over and done this again using MapQuest. MapQuest puts in road names and other information. It probably won't go as small. It'll probably be a one to about 250,000 at that best, because they get to a point where they will increase. But they have the names of the streets also on them. And they give you an area of some other things that may have been not on Google Earth. Finally, you go online to your county GIS. County GIS, and that is a global information service, and you get the property maps for your area. Print those up the same way. Now you know what your area is. Turn that out this last week. What you should have done was gone through and identified your neighbors. In other words, you may not have to put the whole address on there, but say you're on a street called Bondre. On Bondre Street, you take and you go number the houses, 1 through 12, and they get a small piece of paper to identify the name who lives there, or vacant, or leave it blank if you don't know. Then you can, later as you walk around, you can ask them, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm with a community protection team, and can I? Who are you? If they tell you to go pound sand, then you know that they're probably not going to be there when you need them anyway. This brings us into our next phase. This is the phase we're in today. What we want to do today is learn how to keep this alive, how to keep everything going. So, what you're going to do is you're going to look around at what the people on your list, what do they know how to do? What do they do for a living? If you have doctors, that's great. Nurses, medics, because when things get tough, the electricity goes out, and they send the people home, they're coming to your neighborhood. They're still medics, nurses, doctors. They just need a place to work, and that's what you're doing. That's what the protection team will set up. Do you have anybody out there that grows a garden in their back? If they're out there now growing a couple rows of carrots, maybe two stalks of corn, three tomato plants, they have skills. You need to get them and say, hey, can you teach the rest of us this? And they will be glad. Anybody that grows anything is proud of what they've created, and they will share. Maybe not the product, but they will share the knowledge that you're going to need. Next thing you need to find, do you have any water wells in your neighborhood? Why? Because when the electricity goes out, those big pumps that are run by the city to send that water out to you pressurized so that it stays clean, they stop after the fuel oil goes away. When they work on generators, they only have so much, and when that's finished, then the water goes away. So if someone happens to have a well in the ground in your area, now's the time to find out. It's generally easy to find. They may not, in fact, the people that are living in the house may not know what it is. You'll generally see in the backyard what looks like a gray igloo, a little square shed out by itself, about 3 feet high. Maybe there's a little power stop next to it. These are generally a good indication as well. This will be important because that water may not be good, but if it comes out of the ground, it goes into a pot, goes through a nice 2 or 3 sheets of material and into a pot to get the rough stuff out. It gets boiled, a little bit of chlorine to it, or hydrogen peroxide. It is something you can drink. Is there any other water in your area? If there's an old stream or something there, this may not be fit to drink, but it will flush the toilets. It can be heated up, a little bit of hydrogen peroxide in it, and you can wash with it. All these are going to be something that you are going to have to set up. You're going to have to set these up because when the city can't provide them, they go away. Now, another thing you're going to need to look for, trash. Where can you burn trash? Because the garbage man is not going to come pick it up anymore when things get tough. When they start closing this stuff down because they ran out of money, they ran out of grants, or some disaster struck that prevents them from doing it, all the trash is going to pile up. Piling trash creates rodents, rodents bring, and this brings rats, and rats cause the plague and other diseases. They kill your dogs, your animals, make them sick, and they bite you and kill you. So find a place where you can burn trash. Got a lot with no trees overhead. Dig a hole about 3 foot deep. Put stones around the outside of it and have somebody that 2-3 times a day will strike a match or strike something to start the fire. Get it going. Burn the trash. It may smell bad, but it's better to smell bad than to make you sick. Next question you have to look at is, do you have any empty houses? And why is this important? Well, there'll be two reasons for empty houses. One, some people's idea of what to do in case of emergency is grab the wife, the kids, the pooch, throw them in the car, and run like heck to grandma's or someplace else. As they leave, ask them, hey, can I use your house while you're gone? He's happy to know somebody will be watching it. Sure, he'll give you the keys. What do you use these houses for? You need empty houses to set up aid stations because these doctors are not going to go door to door. So if we have an aid station, someone gets hurt, they holler, bring the attention. They get transported down to an empty garage. It's got a couple, three cots in there. They might only have tarps on the ground. There the doctor can sit down and treat them. You don't need food preparation centers because if you've got 95 houses in your community, chances are only 25 to 30 of them will have food in them. The rest of them, you collect and get a food each day. Put it together. What? Okay, I'll give you a good for instance. If you take one cup, just one cup of rice, you boil it, you go get you one MRE. You take the little, what we refer to in the military as the barf bag, the little zipper bag, you pour it into the middle of it. You take the crackers and you crumble them into it. You take some greens out of Mary Lou's garden that were cooked. You throw it into it, you mix it up in a large pan, you can feed a lot of people with just that little bit versus each family doing for themselves, in which the food will go away in about 35 to 40 days. You need water preparation centers, a place where you can bring water up in containers from these sources. Build a few osmosis filters. What's an osmosis filter? Three pieces of PVC pipe, each section separated by a window screen material and a piece of cloth. You start off with big rocks on the top in the first section, little bitty rocks in the second section, and white sand in the third section. By the time you poured that water through, it's extracted about 85% of the solid matter that would be in that water. From there, it gets boiled, a little bit of chlorine added to it, and it's drinkable. Tastes terrible, but it's drinkable and safe. The other thing you're going to need are safe houses. This is a place where if militias called in to help you for some problem, you got a place to put up 15 or 20 people sleeping on the floor. They don't have to sleep out in the rain and the cold. You got a place for displaced patriot families. Their community's been overrun. They've got skills. It's going to take more than 5 or 6 people to protect your neighborhood. Put them in those houses and let them get and settle them up. The availability of these homes will tell you how many refugees and what skills you can accept in your community. And there's going to be some that you're going to say, I'm sorry, we have no room for you. They're not going to be happy with that idea. That's not something they're going to want to hear. Not at all. So if you put your teams together, get them ready, move them out, start collecting this information to make you sustainable. If you've got preppers in your neighborhood, some people, the word militia is a terrible word. They are preppers. They have skills that you need. The elderly have skills that you need. Get with them. Talk to them. If you got old people, bring them to your meetings. They'll tell you things because when they were growing up, you didn't have all the stuff you have today. Things that they know, like, are you aware? If you want an antibiotic, you're required, physically required, to go to a doctor. That's $65 to $70, if there is a doctor. He will write you a prescription. You will take that prescription to a pharmacy. That pharmacy will call him and verify it. That means the phones have to be working. They will punch it into a computer. That means that the computer in contact back to the to all the big federal agencies has to be working to verify your ability to have that stuff. Then they will issue it to you for about $30. So that's a $95 bottle. You go over to Tractor Supply Store or some feed stores and ask them and says, hey, my dog's feeling ill. I need to get an antibiotic. They'll pull you up a little bottle. It's the same thing you would have got. Only it's probably not extended as much. It's got a little chart that says for this much body mass or this big an animal, you put this much into this much water, and they'll hook you for $20. All this information and more, though, is located on a good source. It's called Ramsite. I call Ramsite because it's the most. There's a lot of sites that have this information. After you pay the elite fees, after you get all the pay for a few more items, after you're vetted and people learn everything from who your mother was married to the first time all the way down to who your kids associated at school, now you're qualified to be vetted in one of their team, and they'll leave you that information too. But on Ramsite, you just sign in. You go down to a place called the Resource Center. In the Resource Center are 5,000 pieces of information that you need. Everything from training militias, medicine, communications, gardening, everything. Go and look. It's yours. It was dedicated to you. The next place you want to go is a place called a well-regulated militia, AWRM.org. First thing you see on their heading, thing called NIMS, National Militia Standards, NMS. Click onto that. They're PDF forms. You can download them. Use them to put into a book to train your people because you are going to have to train them because in addition to know how to do all these little homie things for the neighborhood, they need to be able to resist people that will be coming to your house. When those debit cards run out, Walmart strips or shelves, they're coming to shop in your house. If you have 15 people out there that know which end of the weapon the little funny thing jumps out of, and they know how to put that little funny thing exactly where it's supposed to be and not up in the air, they will go shop at somebody else's house. This is your job. That's why we say get veterans. They already learned how to do this. All you have to do is point them in a direction. You're going to have to learn how to do a lot of tactical things. What's a field of fire? How do you need to make that foxhole so if somebody throws a hanger 20 feet away, you will not have parts of your anatomy missing? You'll need to know a lot of this information, and it's located on these two sites. In addition, you need to know what Homeland Security is doing. That's FEMA. You go online, you Google, you tell them, I would like very much to see FEMA online courses. They'll show you a page. You go to it. You start taking those courses. They're good for college credit if nothing else happens. This is your responsibility to learn this. Now, you can get assistance from Wildcard Command by going right now until our website's up and running correctly. Go on Facebook, type in Wildcard Command, all one word. It'll bring you up to the site. You got a place to contact. It'll send an email to us, and we'll bring you up on channel, and we'll teach you what you need to know. This is how it's done. This is how it's going to be in the next for the next few years until we get our nation back. It's getting down towards the end, and before we leave, again, I want to ask everybody, take this information. It's on the internet now, but when the electricity goes off, that won't work. If you go on that same web page, you'll find a little black icon with an eagle sitting on it. Click on that eagle. It'll take you to all these episodes. You click onto the episode, you'll see a thing looks like a rain cloud with an arrow stuck down. Right-click it. It will download these audios, and you can put them on a thumb drive and listen to them later. Well, folks, we're running out of time here. Today is 9/11. Put that in mind. We are not out of danger. Just because nothing happened today doesn't mean it's not going to. It just means it didn't happen in your house. Start protecting, putting your teams together. Start talking to folks this weekend. It's in their mind now that something could happen. Now's the time to recruit them, bring them in, get them on your team's protection list, and get their skill sets and start putting them to use for your community. And I want to wish everybody a good weekend, and I'd like you very much, all of you, to forgive the little lapse at the first of this. Every once in a while, Blog Talk is good, but every once in a while, it has a glitch. And we'll get everything put together. As you put everything together and put your crew together, join us. Join Wildcard. We'll show you how to communicate. We'll show you how to set up your teams. And we'll show you how to link with other teams in your area that you don't know are already there. They just haven't met you yet. This is Safe Talker from Wildcard Command. And have a very good weekend. We'll see you next Friday. Safe Talker out.